Hey everybody, welcome to the Faithforge Academy. I am Steven, and with me today is Lonzo.
Hey everyone, how you doing?
I just realized I always introduce our guests last, and now you're first, so if you ain't first, you're last.
I was not ready for that at all.
Michael.
Hi, I'm Michael. I'm very tired, but might have a degree in a couple months.
And Chris.
I'm a menace.
I don't even know what to say to that. We're glad you're here with us to listen to some D&D. Before we get started,
we're sponsored by some really cool people.
Thank you.
Coffee.
My brain is short-circuited in real time.
Coffee and dice.
Yeah, so go to Found Familiar to get coffee. Foundfamiliar.com. Good God. And use the code FaithForge on checkout. Get some amazing coffee. And also go to GreenleafGeek.com. And use the code FaithForge there to get some amazing D&D and other TTRPG merch and just some good stuff.
And a new promo actually that's happening is the new Dice Coffee. Found Familiar and Greenleaf Geek are coming together to bring you your favorite drink that has now have the Diced Coffee option. I'm kidding. That's not a thing.
Okay.
Sorry, okay, but okay, now though. I'm dreaming of like now, edible dice that are full of coffee. Wow, and you Michael. Just like a can't you like know those things called that like pop in your mouth? Not pop rocks.
Two ideas. Ice molds that are like dice shaped.
That you can put cold brew in.
To make your iced coffee. Yeah, your cold brew. Or dice shaped sugar cubes.
I was thinking that.
That's the end of my ideas. So, Leah, Leah and Aaron and Lindsay hire me. The ideas are flowing.
Ooh, or just like dice shaped espresso cubes.
Oh my God!
Just like really, really concentrated cubes of just
caffeine thick, dice. You just thick, eat them thick, and you're wired.
You just always have your perception.
Okay. Yeah, capitalism. Okay. Dark chocolate espresso bean covered espresso bean dice shaped.
That's a lot idea. Of words.
That's I thought it would young. Be cool.
I would still try it.
And you use them in your game, and whenever you roll a nat 20, you eat it.
Oh, get a hyped up table.
or you just eat all of them. We also have a Patreon, so if you go to patreon.com/FaithForgeAcademy.
If you want more of this kind of content.
this good, sweet content. You can do that for less than $2 a month if you sign up for a year-long subscription, or if you go monthly, it's $2 a month for access to a lot of different things. Unfortunately, we have not been as active there as of late, but all of you patrons who have been supporting us consistently, we really, really appreciate it. Helps pay for a lot of the stuff that goes into making a podcast, like rights for music and equipment and software and lots of different things. So we really appreciate that. And I don't know. Do we have anything else we need to tell these fine people?
Nope. Check out the podcast, rate, review, share it out.
Oh, and you should listen to the Unwavering Force.
I guess you could do that too.
It's you should
cool podcast.
Yeah, if you like Pathfinder or you like Star Wars, or if it's your sweet spot and you like both of those things.
I mean, we're just trying to be the BIPOC figurehead of Star Wars.
Love that. I love that for y'all.
We need that.
Mm-hmm. So go check them out. That's the other show Lonzo's on. And let's go make some magic, y'all.
How's that sound?
I believe in magic.
So, last time, as the party infiltrated, I guess we will say, the Metallurgist Guild, where Arden Fisher's research is, and or was, they stumbled across a scene with a large number of the city guard working for the Rhythin, basically arresting, searching, kicking out everybody who works in that union. They overheard that in the chaos that they caused the night before, the story that is quickly coming out of the powers that be is that Thyroka Rubydelver and Arden Fisher assassinated and killed Tyso Vare. They're using that as reason to disband all unions and take over as much of the city economy as they can. You all broke in and managed to recover Arden Fisher's research, as well as some samples of different alloys of metals used in this so-called Aether Blade, this weapon found in blueprints from the time of lore that supposedly can separate someone from the aether of the world, the magic of the world, cutting them off from that connection. As you made your escape, you headed towards the Wing and Wood, sort of on a hunch more than anything. It's a small bed and breakfast that had been recommended to you by Lilana, the strange orc lady who ran the alchemy shop, the Alchemy Index, as well as Ariadne and Blossom had also gotten a recommendation for this place when they were translating books in the bookshop. So as you arrived, you were greeted by this small little Aarakocra, short little hummingbird-like wings, long thin beak, beautiful like greens and reds in their feathers. And as they fly down to meet you, looks at you in particular, Leo, says, "I expected to meet you here sooner. Welcome." Head doing that little hummingbird thing where it's flicking back and forth. As you all look around, it's actually fairly empty. There's not a lot of people in any of the tables that are available. But this bed and breakfast is beautiful. Through the middle is this large birch tree that's growing up, branches coming out into the space. And it grows up actually through the roof. This building was very clearly built around it. And from it, a dryad steps forth and stands next to this hummingbird Aarakocra. The Aarakocra says, "My name's Kiko. Me and my partner Ildra Hall, we run this inn. Alejo, I get the sense that given what's happening in the city, you may be in a bit of trouble. Are these your friends?"
Yeah, they are. And you're right, I am in a bit of trouble. I'm sure everyone's heard what's going on, and I don't think it's safe for me to really travel outside.
No, I would agree with that. I would say that you should not. It would not be something I would advise.
Yeah, but there's still things I need to do. I have to. I don't know. I guess I have to decide if it's worth the risk to go out there. People still need help.
That they do. This is not the space to make that sort of decision. Just walking in the door. I think those decisions are made much better with some sort of food and after some rest. Can I provide those things for you? Would that be okay?
Yeah, any chance you have, like, mimosas or something?
we do. We have an omelet bar, mimosas, as well, and many other goods. We try to provide the finest in home cooked goods here. So whatever you'd like. Just ask away and we'll see what we can do. In the meantime, while I go get some of that ready for you, Ildrahal here can show you to some rooms where you can find some rest. And maybe after a good night's sleep, I think we have some things.
Looks over at Ariadne and Blossom as well, and kind of looks at all of you.
I think to talk about with all of you.
Head keeps sort of flicking back and forth.
Been noticed in the city by some very interesting people. Some good, some bad. But I think we can help you.
What do we owe you for the rooms?
Nothing at this moment. If it becomes a longer...
Sorry, that's an out-of-character pause. May I, as this conversation is happening, especially clocking this dryad, can I ascertain, like... I know we've been told we can trust these people, but am I getting any inkling, like, that either of them might double-cross Alejo or maybe intend him ill will?
Roll an insight check.
Is it player trauma or character trauma?
Both. It's literally both. Y'all told me I could go to fucking school. Here I am. I'm just going to do it in whatever. 25.
No, they as you look, they seem... I mean, it's easier to clock someone who's speaking than someone who's just sort of standing and watching.
Mm-hmm.
But at this moment, Kiko seems cautious. But the concern and offer to help feels really, really genuine. The dryad who's stepped forth hasn't said anything yet, but just seems to be sort of doing a standard, like, eyeing up this group of people that they've never met before. You don't get any sinister sort of, like, double-crossing vibes.
Okay, yeah, you just gotta check, you know what I mean? This day and age, yeah, you gotta check.
No, you do.
No, Alejo's way too trusting. He's still
He's only just experienced the trauma of his school getting overthrown.
Oh, we'll come sweet to that other child.
Door. We'll come to that other door fairly soon, I think.
In this moment, the dryad sort of steps forward, says, "Please, come with me," and sort of like glides along this tree spirit. This building is more circular than as far as the geometry of it goes, and there are two stairwells that sort of wrap around the outside walls. They take you up one of these stairs, and says, "I hope that this gives you the space you need to rest. Please, if you need anything, come down. Kiko, I believe, will bring you an array of food. The beds are fresh and comfortable. We do have a small bathhouse in the back if any of you would like to relax in that way. And you are safe here from prying eyes and ears." Opens the door. You see, it's almost like a hostel sort of room where hostel like the place you stay, not like hostel. like the beds are going to attack you.
There's chains everywhere.
Beds are mimics.
Where there's probably 10 or so bunk beds. At the end of all the beds, there's little chests and stuff like that. While it does look like it holds a decent number of people, all of the beds look very, very nice and well kept. The room is very clean. There's a few like closets or I guess armoires would be the correct term, on kind of the sides of the rooms. In the back, there's a couple tables, and whatnot. There's like a large furnace in the center, with a chimney that goes up through the roof.
And this dryad just sort of floats off. Cause, Ariadne, Blossom. Those are the only three we're missing, right?
Mm.
I know who's in our group. The three of them just sort of hobble towards the nearest bed and crash. I just realized the way I described that sounds like they all three hobble towards the nearest bed and just like fall on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they all just, I mean, it takes them 30 seconds to fall asleep with all the stress from the last couple days weighing over them. Rain, Besky, and Alejo, what do the three of you do?
What time is it?
I would say evenings between 7 or 8.
Okay.
I think if there's a different area we could go to so we don't disturb our three sleeping friends, unless they're heavy sleepers, Alejo doesn't know.
Kaz is already snoring.
I was going to say Kaz has to be sawing logs right now. There's no way.
Yeah.
In that case, I think Alejo just like sits down crisscross applesauce in the middle of the floor and facing Besky and Rain and says, what do we do now?
That's a good idea.
About what specifically?
I mean, that's a great question.
Like in general, I don't know. About this issue that you're facing, I also don't know. So, you know, I guess I don't know.
All right, well, I think step one, we're safe, so that's good. We seem safe. Step two, and the remind me, Stephen, the information from the blade I got from Alejo, or where'd I get the information from?
So you've only heard a very little bit thus far of Alejo just like basically saying we've been studying, like Fisher's been studying these old blueprints that can separate people from magic. And y'all went to Arden Fisher's office to basically get as much of that research as possible. Gotcha. This was your next stop. So you haven't,
right.
Yeah.
I know that Ariadne is sleeping, but can I just start like maybe trying to make sense of the notes, at least putting it in some sort of order that makes sense? Cause I know we just like grabbed a bunch of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then
I think Alejo would also be able to assist in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess while we're doing this, Alejo, and thank you, by the way.
No, thank you for.
It seems that I'm sorry that we had to be the news that the Fae Forge is kind of on hiatus right now, as it is under new control. Putting it lightly, I guess we have a little bit of free time. What do you think you want to do after this? I guess while we're just thinking.
Well, like I was saying downstairs, I mean, there's some folks that still need help. I mean, I kind of figured something was up the academy when I haven't heard anything in a while, but it's better to do the work and send it in than not do it and, you know, get a failing grade for at least not doing the work. So at least I kept up on my studies. I mean, right side of things.
Yay for you.
I mean, they pretty much gave me everything I needed for the year in the syllabus, but wasn't expecting a takeover of the academy to be on the syllabus. But I don't know. I mean, you folks are seem to be doing somewhat okay, helping folks out. You're the Fayforge Five. I could help other people out as well in my own way, here or somewhere else. Arden taught me a bit of the trying to keep eyes and ears out on places. I guess he was right to be a bit paranoid, but I didn't expect it to go this far.
Yeah, I think usually helping people out gives you some sort of direction. It certainly has given us some direction when we didn't know what to do. So, I think that'll be a good thing. So, Vesky's going to think for a bit. And while he's, like, organizing things, I know that we're supposed to be figuring out the thing with Kaz's grandma. Do we know where she's, like, being held? Because I assume she's being held in the city somewhere.
No, you just know she's being held by the Black Irons, which is one of the families underneath his family that works for him. I will say in conversations, it hasn't actually come up in game, but I think there's been enough time that you would have had some conversations about this, but most of the Deepstones and Black Irons don't actually live in the city proper. They have they have some basically underground dwarven cities that are connected. But they're sort of like deep into these mountains. In the city, there is a place called the Halls of the Deep, which is in the fog, which is one of the roads, essentially the underground roads that leads to those cities. There is also a fairly large prison, essentially, in the First Light, which is the ruling class can go there. It's the upper level of the city, that there's not a lot of access to. So those would be kind of the two places that would have been discussed at this point as to where she might be.
So maybe I'll see something that talks about a location with the blade stuff, not like any general thing. It's just like trying to like, speaking it very general, there's no like location about it, but then that will like maybe prompt a thing of like, so I think we can maybe, I know dwarves that usually have like a good knack for underground systems, but I wonder if there's like a map or something that we can find around here that at least gives non-dwarf folk a way of maybe figuring out some of the stuff down there so we're not all lost. Maybe that's something we can look into tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe one of the bookstores might have something, perhaps. Would kind of make sense.
Yeah, we should probably look into that tomorrow. And let me see. And then you said we also have a note. Are we in the fog currently, or are we?
No. So the three levels are: First Light is the uppermost level of the city. The Calling is the second level, which is where you all are, which is sort of the main. Most people go. The fog is the lower level. It's much more impoverished and yeah.
And is that also like what we think might lead to the halls?
Yeah, there's an entrance there.
And remind me again, the Halls of
the Deep.
That's right. And the fog. Okay, I'm just writing this all down because there's a lot. Lore. No,
memorize it now, or your characters will die.
Okay. I think. What do we? We think we might be able to stay here for like a day or two, and then. Maybe we try and find some information about the Halls of the Deep, and then we know we at least have one safe place in the fog, perhaps, from this note that we have. So, yeah. Is there anything that we're missing. And also, Alejo, this is kind of how this goes. Like, we obviously just, you saw on the boat, we just kind of come up with plans on the go because there always seems to be a lot going on.
Alejo goes to reach for his little backpack, you know, satchel thing he had with him, and then realize that Arden still has it, to take a note of that. And he's like, oh, I guess that's something I need to do too, is get my stuff back from Arden. So I guess going to the fog is probably our next bet, like you said, Besky. I wonder if Kiko might know anything how to get there safely, because I'm sure there's guards all over the place.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be easier to do this in the evening? When people are looking for Alejo? Maybe we could do that tonight. If everyone else is sleeping, a smaller group might be easier to move around more discreetly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be good.
Doesn't sound that bad. I mean, we'll just have to leave a note for them.
Yes, that's a responsible one. Yes, we should do that.
While you're having this conversation, there's a small knock on the door. You hear the voice of Kiko.
Brought you some food, if you're interested.
Lehyo stands up, opens the door slightly to make sure it's Kiko.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Because of the conversations we were having.
Mm-hmm.
And says, oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm hungry. I'm sure the others are too. Is it possible we could just get like an extra pillows? Because half of us already passed out and we just want to make them a little bit more comfortable.
Oh yeah, of course. Anything you need.
Sort of hovers in the back where there's all those tables, just kind of lays out a bunch of different foods. There's some couple fresh omelets. There's lots of pastries and fruit, different things like that. Besky, your professional nose recognizes quality cooking.
Okay,
it's good stuff. Kiko says, is there anything else before I go? Any questions that you have for me, or just the pillows?
Maybe bring another plate of food.
Of course.
That's it.
Happy to. Flutters out, and closes the door.
Yeah.
Alejo, do you want to ask her what... I mean, do you want to... I don't want to, like, say your business. But if she has more information, we could ask her then when she comes back.
Yeah. I mean, if anyone knows, it's probably a best bet that she might...
I definitely especially. Don't, so...
No, I mean, it was a little weird that she said that she expected me here sooner. Because I wasn't expecting to be here at all, so...
Maybe she's a fortune teller.
Do you think I should go talk to her? See what she meant by that?
Well, I think she's coming right back, so...
Come back?
Yeah. We could just, when she gets back, see what she knows.
Yeah, Lehia's gonna go grab some food, sit down, nervously eat.
Nice. A few minutes later, Kiko flies back. Another light knock on the door. I have those pillows and a little bit more food.
I give her my finished plate and take the new plate.
Oh wow, that was. Have you been? Has your group been without food recently?
Not really. I just haven't had really good food in a while, and your stuff is really good.
Oh, I just do my best. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you enjoy it. She's sort of dragging a like a bag filled with pillows and blankets and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Is this sufficient for
you? Yes. For you? I'll take it from her.
Okay. Anything else before I go?
I think we all just kind of look at each other, like, who's going to speak up first to ask?
You see her head. It's moving very quickly, like hummingbirds do, where it's going like side to side, looking at each of you.
It seems like you have something that you're nervous about, or that you want to ask. So just go ahead and say it. What's the worst thing that happens? I betray you and kill you, or something like that?
That would be pretty bad. Nervously chomping on like another piece of food.
Oh.
I elbow check Aleo.
Sorry, I guess that was not a good joke. Adrahan keeps telling me that I need to work on my comedic timing. So, apologies.
No, it's fine. But we did have a couple questions. One, we're looking to get to the fog. Would you happen to know the safest route to get there?
Oh, that's an interesting question. There's a few safe routes. There's a few unsafe routes. There's a few, How soon would you like to go there?
Imminently.
So, like, in 5 minutes, sort of?
I'm just gonna look back at Besky to judge how quickly he's eating.
I'm eating. I already ate half the plate. It's kind of like, you know how like sometimes you don't focus on like your brother or something when they're growing and they have like growth spurts even in their 20s and they're just like shoveling food and it doesn't make sense how you keep. That's kind of what's happening. I just not. Yeah.
I'm sorry if I pry. What are you trying to do in the fog? What are you trying to avoid? What does safe feel like to you? Unfortunately, it's not a simple, like, yes, I have a secret tunnel that goes straight from my inn to where you want to go. Though that would be convenient.
And Aleo nervously looks both at Besky and Rain, wondering, like, you know, how much he should divulge to this person we just met. This individual, rather. Mm-hmm. And just takes, like, a big, deep breath out and says, we found a note from Thyroka to Arden saying that there's safety in the fog. And seeing that it's not really safe for me here, I figure that would probably be the next best place for me to go. Or us. Hmm.
Yes, that does make sense. So there's a few variables that I'm not sure about how you will be able to navigate them. The first is we haven't had time to really investigate how much security has changed in the last 24 hours. I guess what I'm trying to say is I can't give you any guarantees, because with Arden being kind of public enemy number one, you in particular will be probably on the list of wanted individuals, given your relationship, and just the overall state of the city is, I fear we're, even if it hasn't been declared this way, we're essentially under martial law. And so I have a few ways down that in the past have been fairly discreet, but I don't know if that is still the same. I'm sorry, I don't have a better question or a better answer to your question.
No, that's... I think that's more than what we originally had. We didn't really know how to get down there. So it's something.
We just need you to point us in a direction, and we can manage the rest. We are more capable than we look.
Yeah. If we're able to keep, you know, Aleo here safe, we're definitely capable.
I get that sense. I just to be blunt, I worry for my city and for the people in my city greatly. I know enough about how the city works to know whatever the story is that the Rhythm is putting out is not the case, is not true, is not... Even if it does contain an element of truth, it is being used to manipulate. And that scares me when I don't have knowledge. I sort of thrive on knowledge. And, yes, anyways, I'm rambling. It's been a stressful day for everyone here, I'm sure. I mean, I know, looking at you, Alehiel, I know that pales in comparison to what you are probably experiencing.
Alehiel just nods.
But yes, if,
kind of draws a very quick map of the calling marks where you are.
Since there's a very old passageway, or sort of, it's more of a canal, that flows from First Light to the Calling down to the Fog, that is dried up, it's not used anymore.
She pulls out a small old rusty key, and hands it to you, Alejo, and says, this should get you in into the gates. It's closed up. It's not used. It wasn't monitored for a long time. But that should probably be the safest route. I don't even know how many people know it exists.
Alejo takes the key and just holds it a little dearly in his hands, seeing as, you know, like, this is probably going to be the way that he gets to see Arden again. Because Arden, last they spoke, was through message. And Arden seemed a little bit concerned, but Alejo just wants to know that Arden's alright. Thanks. And we'll try and be as cautious as possible. And I understand that you wouldn't know what's going on, given everything just got flipped upside down. Is it possible I could talk to you in private? Because you mentioned something I had questions about.
Sure, of course. Follow me. I can take you to my office.
And he gets up and follows.
Flutters you back down the stairs, through some, when you walked in, there was sort of like a bar, and takes you through some double swinging doors that go behind the bar, in through a kitchen, and there's like a small little office in the back. She ushers you in. There's a small chair there. It's pretty cramped. Most of the space in this place is used for serving customers and whatnot there. But she closes the door and says, "So what worries you?
You mentioned when you first saw me that you expected me sooner. I just don't know what you meant by that. I mean, I don't really know this place or heard of you before."
Yeah, I expected... I'm friends with Arden. I've known Arden for many, many years. And I've been trying to help the unions as much as possible. And I thought that he would send you my way sooner, but he's been growing more and more paranoid. And
yeah, he really has been. He's not the same Arden I met when I first got here, but now I see kind of justified.
It is. I'm sure as you've been here, you've learned very quickly that what you see on the surface of the city is not the reality of this place. It's not this great, full, wonderful place. It's ruled by bad people who try to exploit us.
Is there any message or anything you want us to relay to the folks down there, or anything you need that I should let them know?
Tell them Lilana wants to meet.
Okay. I understand that this isn't the city that you expected it to be, but I think those folks up there can really make a difference. Probably give us a little bit more breathing space.
What makes you think that?
I mean, they just risked themselves to stop a monstrous creature from wreaking havoc on this town. There was no hesitation. I didn't know who they were. I was just there because Arden brought me, and Arden wanted me to check to see what's going on, but...
You were at the warehouse?
Yeah, there was supposed to be a meeting, but I think it was supposed to be a tent on Arden's life, if not cause havoc and destruction in the town.
Well, that second thing certainly did happen.
Yeah. Consequentially, but those five up there, I think they can help us out.
Okay.
In some way. I'm not saying they could fix everything.
Fixing something just takes a lot of people willing to try.
Well, they want me to try. And will give me the feeling that I should try a little bit harder and more. So I'll let them know. I'll pass your message along, and hopefully we make it there.
I hope so too. I hope that Iroka and Arden are alive.
Yeah, me too. And thanks for your help.
You're welcome.
I know you don't have to, because probably putting yourself at risk in your lovely establishment.
I've been putting myself at risk for a long time. And it's worth it. Ildrahel has, on the room that you're staying in, just so you know, has cast non-detection, so...
Oh.
There are...
That's good.
No prying ears can listen in on what you're doing. We have a few rooms that are specially made.
I hate to ask you for one more thing, seeing as you've given so much, but do you have any way that would make me not stand out as much? Seeing as you said I'm probably something they're a person of interest.
That, unfortunately, I have... and this, I didn't mention this, but this Aarakocra is about 3 feet tall. I have my wardrobe. I don't know that it will do much for you.
No, that's fine. Like I said, you've already done so much.
Have a lot of fruits that could stain your fur.
Or perhaps like a lost and found. Maybe someone left something behind.
Oh, that didn't even cross my mind. Sure, let me go check that. And why don't you roll me a d20?
Sure.
You know what? People never ask Inns about their lost and found. I just realized that.
He's still a student. That's a 10.
10. Okay. So she flutters out. You hear some crashing in like a closet. She's like sorting through things, and comes back, holding a couple things. There is this very fine vest. It's this like blue color with lots of like floral like embroidery, a little bit of like silver. Stitching along the seams. Says, I think this would fit you. So there's that. There is a very much like a
if you've seen Puss in Boots, the hat that Puss wears, this large brimmed black hat with one of the sides is sort of up. There's a feather in it. Says I don't know if maybe this would. I they don't exactly scream like I'm trying to hide.
No, they don't. But I mean, it's better than nothing.
And then this it's this like bright orange jacket. Like these long coattails that go to the ground. And this,
you know, I'll take all of it. I'm sure I could figure something out with it. I mean, at least the hat's really fancy.
You won't look like you normally look, which is this, half of disguises, I think.
You are absolutely right, Kiko. That's exactly. Yeah.
So,
the best way to hide is to be in plain sight.
Yeah, I've heard that phrase. I don't know that I totally agree with it. But if it's all you got, it's all you got. And this is all we got. So,
thanks again. I mean, this is more than I expected, and hopefully I'll talk to you soon at some point.
I hope so.
And Alejo takes his leave and goes back up with Besky and Rain.
Okay. So the three of you, as Alejo walks back in with an array of loud clothing, you have your little map. What are you doing?
I think while Alejo was gone and Besky was finishing up, Rain would have actually finished up. I have been pulling, whether it is soft hay or feathers or whatever it is, I'm pulling it out of one of the mattresses up here. Okay. And crafting like this little, perhaps with some like odds and ends that I just happen to have in pockets or that I like, you know, find in our bags from travel or whatever, like little bits of sticks and twigs and things. I am just crafting like a little, butterfly made of like twigs and just little odds and ends. Been working on that. And then, when Alejo takes several minutes to return, I think Rain goes ahead and goes downstairs to whatever bar or desk or wherever that dryad is managing the establishment. And I'm just gonna, Rain does not ask any questions, but I think, in a very fey, a very familiar way is just offering this little butterfly as a token of allyship and makes no remarks other than to say in Sylvan, which isn't really a language, so to express in Sylvan that I acknowledge how far away they are from where they came from. And I think it comes out as like, it would be heard almost as like a little bit of bird song, the way a bird might sing when they are far away from home. That's what Rain is doing.
The dryad, I don't know why that was very touching to me. That was very beautiful. reaches out and takes it. And essentially, kind of similarly, like almost echoes this same, like kind of what you're expressing through Sylvan directly back to you. And momentarily sort of like fades into the tree. And you see like the leaves sort of rustle, all the way through it. And two things happen. One is that butterfly that you just crafted starts to fly around the tree. And then this dryad comes back out and breaks off a small branch from like that's like sort of sticking out of their arm. and hands it to you.
I'll accept it.
And as you accept it, you feel as though it can funnel your magic.
Hmm.
They say, we are both far from home.
Yes.
And home is always with us.
Yes.
I hope this helps you. It is a piece of me, a piece of home, a piece of the Fae. And in some ways, a piece of me is a piece of you.
Yeah, that, I think they, I have to imagine both individuals know, like, that is what Rain was about to express, and they don't, like, there's, I feel like there's just so much unspoken that's not necessary mm-hmm. to say. Like, this is kind of, I feel like this is kind of the equivalent of, like, the black head nod on the street. Like, we know. We know.
Amazing.
You don't gotta say nothing. Like, we know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I will accept that gratefully and wait, as I assume Besky and Alehia will appear shortly.
I think maybe I pass Rain
mm-hmm.
as I leave. So, I'm not sure if Rain's finishing up.
Yeah, that's it.
This exchange, but
Chris, that's a plus two focus.
What?
Whoa, let's go. Listen, you pulled on my heartstrings.
Oh my god! Okay.
And all I got was this bright orange tailcoat.
Equally magical, I am sure. But yeah, if Besky has something that he wants to do, I don't want to like rush.
No, all I was going to do is like sit and like maybe meditate for a while.
I actually, Besky, I want you to roll, are you proficient in Arcana?
I believe I am. Let me double check that. Yep.
I would like you to roll an Arcana check.
Okay. Uh-huh. That is a 10.
Okay. 10 squad.
As you were sorting through the notes and trying to find everything, do you remember you all have a book called the Book of Betrayals that has shown you all yes. various visions at different points?
Yeah.
Ariadne had a vision one time of Sala, the goddess of justice, being stabbed. And as you're looking through, especially the old, not any of Arden's notes specifically, but like the actual like pieced together blueprints from the time of lore, you see this blade, and it is. It fits the description that Ariadne gave to a T. Now, with a 10, you don't necessarily have the answers to, like, how to complete it and how to make it, but you know that this is, like, the real deal.
That book, we gave that away, right? Or it's not with us anymore.
I don't remember who has it, but one of y'all still has it.
Well, I think we do still have it, because Rain...
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
I don't know.
Rain was the last one to use it, but that was 60 yeah. episodes ago.
Yeah.
Well, I might crack that. Well, we don't have time, because we're trying to do some stuff. So I'm going to query the group to see who has it. Probably won't matter who. And then I'll possess that book, but not do anything with it.
It's in the it's in the communal library.
Yeah. So Ariadne then.
Yeah.
I'm gonna shove the blueprints I have into that book too. Okay. No one ever really does that with like innately magical books, but you know, I'm just gonna like, you know, it's a good way to keep paper. It's just put yeah. paper in a book.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna put the blueprints in the book. And have that on my person. So let me put that down. I have the book of betrayals. No big deal. But yeah.
Okay.
I think other than that, I'm probably good to go because I don't want to spend too much time. I'd probably meditate for a bit. I don't know if it's relevant or not, because I think we're kind of basically rested. But I would just, like, meditate for an hour or nap for an hour or whatever. You know, reset my warlock stuff, even though I don't think anything happened. But while everyone was, like, doing stuff, I would just be, like, chilling.
And y'all are then heading out, correct?
I believe so.
Following this little map. So as you head out,
And is it just the three of us, or is it the whole group?
It's just the three of you.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool.
Can you all give me a perception check?
Sure.
At this point of the game, I really still can't believe it. Like, I accessed it for the first, like, 4 years. It's just, well, a three. I have a three.
I'm back, sorry.
And can you roll a perception check, Chris?
Yeah, I know how to do that on my sheet. Yeah.
16.
16, 20, and a classic Besky roll. Ildrahel, the dryad, kind of points you out. There's a back door to this. Says, stay off the main roads as best you can. And as you all step outside, the sun has set, it's dark, so these alchemical floating lights are starting to turn on and light the cities. In this sort of like blue white light, you step out into what is essentially the back alley. You can see there's all the trash and whatnot from the kitchen comes out here. There's a few like empty storage boxes and things like that. And as you look down, it's other stores have the same stuff kind of going down either direction. You hear in the streets. The sound of marching, essentially. That's, you don't hear the sound. When you first came to the city, it was filled with life. There's lots of like nightlife and all sorts of that stuff. As you step out into the darkness tonight, the only things you hear are marching and the occasional order shouted from, sounds like guards. You hear. There's been a curfew enacted. Inside your homes, inside your inns. No one on the streets. Things of that nature. And just the overall tension in the city is palpable. As you start to follow this map, it takes about 15 minutes going through these like back alleys. And actually, could you give me a group stealth check?
I also would like to say that Alejio probably left a note for...
Oh, yeah, good, because Rain forgot.
You all had mentioned that you were going to do that.
Stealth check, you said?
Yeah.
15.
13.
9.
Oh, Lord.
We're there.
We're good.
Yeah. We're so good.
It's chill. It's chill as hell.
Okay. Incredible. As you are moving through these alleys, you feel like somehow they've been avoided thus far by patrolling guards. You make it to this rusted old gate, which is where you were led to this now dried up canal or sewer. You're not sure which. And Alejio, sorry if I'm taking any player agency, but I'm assuming you're going to use the key.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as you reach out and unlock it, it clicks. You hear from the street, maybe 20 feet behind you, as this gate opens in a sort of a fashion. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that? and we're going to have to find out what happens next time on the Fayforge Academy.
Oh.
Fair.
Oh, boy.
Hey, thanks so much for attending the Fayforge Academy today. Before you go, don't forget to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/Fayforge Academy. And also stop by Greenleaf Geek, which is at Greenleaf Geek on Twitter and Instagram, or greenleafgeek.com. Get all your dice needs fulfilled. And don't forget that if you use the code Fayforge on checkout, you'll get 10% off your order. We are also proud members of the Fandamentals Podcast Network, so make sure you go to thefandamentals.com to catch up on all sorts of pop culture and nerd stuff. They have a lot of great articles, a lot of other great podcasts. Check them out. And with that, I am your Dungeon Master, Steven. You can find me on Twitter at @the_badDM.
My name is Ian Gould, and you can find me on Twitter at Ian G. Gould.
Hey, I'm Chris. I like to hang out. You can do so alongside me on Twitter at Kiss of Hemlock.
Hey, I'm Adelaide Gardner. You can find me at Oh Adelaide.
Hi, I'm Emily, or M, and you can find me at Emily Irv, that's EmilyErv, on Twitter and Instagram.
My name is Michael Sinclair II. You can find me at Michael Critz on Twitter and on Twitch.
Theme music by Dave Cole of the Four Orbs Podcast. For more music, check out D. Cole Music on YouTube. Additional sound effects and music found at Zapsplat.com, TabletopAudio.com, and EpidemicSound.com. The Fayforge Academy is a proud member of the Fandamentals Podcast Network.